You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Deneen Fresh Gray, and I'm thanking you for watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And this is going to be one of my favorite shows. You do not want to miss this, especially if you're a female in dentistry, because today we're going to be talking about thriving as a female in a man's world with Deneen Fresh Gray. She is one of my favorite of all time. And we're going to clarify what this topic is all about and how it all works in just a second. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. We're shooting this live on Facebook like we always do. So if you're watching this and you have a few questions, add them to the feed and I'll ask the master herself and we'll get the answers straight from her while she's on. Or you can add questions later on, because if you're watching this after the live feed, because we want you to get the most out of this when you're enjoying this. Share these with your team too. Share them with your friends. We love that. We are now up over 39,000 followers on Facebook. So thanks for all the shares, the comments, the suggestions for shows. We're lining all of them up and I couldn't be more grateful for that. Also on iTunes, over 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes. So I don't have anything to say other than thank you. Now, my guest today has been a good friend of mine for a long time. Actually, her husband, Brian, and her have just been mutual great friends, and Sarah and I, for years and years and years. I've watched her not only grow her own practice, become a very well-respected expert and authority in dentistry, and she's doing so many cool things. And Deneen, you're the person, you're one of the main people I go to when I am just restricted in my ability to think, maybe how a female thinks. And I just often dish questions to you, and you're so good at helping me understand the perspective that maybe we are limited or I'm limited to. But now I'm so excited to get into this topic. There's so many things I want to ask you, but if somebody's watching this and they've never heard of you or they don't know your story, just give us a little background on your story, where you practice, and tell us about you.
So I am in DC suburbs of Arlington, Virginia. I've been in dentistry since I was 16 years old. And my dad said, get an after-school job. And one of his friends was a periodontist. And so I went in. This is before gloves. This is before masks. So now you can figure out how old I am. And he said, sit down and suction. And I just about passed out. And I was like, oh, okay, but I like this. And he was a mentor, which was awesome. I'd suggest everyone get a mentor. That's a side note. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with the field. So went to college. He got me a job as a dental assistant, worked for all of his friends in Boston, then went to Georgetown, met my husband, and opened a practice.
Yeah.
Now I love what I do.
Yeah. And now currently you practice 4 days a week. You practice Tuesdays through Fridays from 7 to 3. And you're one of the heroes that I mentioned. You've had a practice 7 to 3 with the straight eight. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but that's kind of the dynamic of your work week, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And now I'm not saying this because I want everybody to think this is the way to go, but Deneen also has an incredibly successful practice. You don't participate with any insurances, which we're going to clarify. And again, that's not what we're suggesting here. I just want to give you some perspective that Deneen's, you've lived 9 lives getting to this point, and you've learned a lot of lessons, and we're going to be excited to talk about those things. But I want to talk, this is the first place I want to start because I love this. Why is this topic so important about females thriving in a man's world? Because this is a little bit of a controversial title that we've come up with. So give us some perspective and some clarity behind that.
Okay, before people start throwing the popcorn at me, I have been lucky enough to be successful in a man's world. And what I mean by that is, and I've said to Kirk to you before, that we have to strive harder and better than a man. I have 2 daughters, and they're always it's difficult to comprehend kind of the obstacles that we have to overcome. For instance, if we want to talk about Serena this past weekend, controversial. It's okay to be controversial. It's a good topic to talk about. It is wrong that she got a game taken away from her when John McEnroe did not, but it's not right of what they did to start with. Mm-hmm. So we, as females, we just have to work harder and be smarter than the men.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to debate that because a smart man will understand that. And just speak about the landscape in dentistry. While we're watching the percentages change, there's obviously more females coming into the world of dentistry. Typically, even the leadership, it's so great to see so many female leaders in dentistry. You've been involved in a long time. Give us kind of your perspective on the current landscape of dentistry.
Okay. Well, let me detour if you'll allow me, because when I started dental school back in the 80s, 3 years before me in my dental class of 125, there were 17 women. By the time 2 classes after me, it was almost 50%. But what that means is, in today's world, the women that are in their 40s and 50s who are making policies and who are now in education, it's really these women that are coming up now that are benefits of those people. Because when you first graduate, when I first graduated, it was still a man's world. It didn't matter. There were 50% female in my class. And when I went to take the boards, who were the instructors that were saying yes or no? They were all male. And anyway, that's kind of my perspective. The other thing is, I can tell you a little story about sitting on the board at my local dental society when I first started.
Tell us.
Okay. So sitting on the board, I'm the only woman in a group of about 35 men. It's 6 o'clock at night, and they're making a decision about a copy machine. For those of you that don't know what a copy machine is, it's the thing that, anyway, you know what a copy machine is. Right. Anyway, the 2 secretaries that were helping the society, they wanted 3 quotes. I was like, yes, they have 3 quotes. They must have talked about the stupid copy machine for 15 minutes. And finally, I said, and I was a lowly little person at that point, I said, why are we talking about this? Susan, did you get 3 quotes? Yes, I did. And you know which machine that you use every single day? Yes, I do. So then I said to the men, why are we talking about this? I know why we're talking about this, because you guys have wives at home that are taking care of your children. My children are at home. I need to go take care of them. So let's talk about things that are important. This is not important. Let people make decisions that can make the decisions, just like our teammates at work.
Yeah. Now, and you know how I think, and I always enjoy these conversations. This isn't a sexist thing, or
no.
it might be, but I want you to talk about the inherent challenges of a woman building a practice, you know, because your husband has his own practice. And I've heard this so many times, and you and I were joking about this before. I have a lot of incredible young female dentists, and they're like, man, I need a wife. I need somebody that can help me at home. You learned early in your career that, look, you knew you had this perspective that you wanted to raise these three amazing kids, and you even created your schedule to support what you wanted. You needed your Monday to give you space. Speak about the inherent challenges of being a woman and creating practice.
I believe that you have to form the practice that you want and then start the other way around, meaning that I wanted, my kids were important. I knew in the morning, you know, that it wasn't important that I was there in the morning. All we did was scream at each other, where's your book bag? You know, why didn't you eat your cereal? Why aren't you eating? You know, on and on and on. So I had a babysitter that came in every single day, and that was my other wife, husband. And I picked up my children at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that was the quality time we had together. Putting them to bed, that was, you know, reading them a story, that was what the quality time was. So I based my practice on my schedule, and my patients came because they understood inherently that my message and what was important to me. And I believe that, you know, females just, I don't have a house husband. Mm-hmm. I told you, Kirk, your life was very different. You know, I just had to create the balance, and you can't have everything. You have to decide what's important to you and then establish your practice based upon what is important to you.
Yeah. And can you speak about males when we have babies? Males, you said males don't really change their, I mean, we are changed. I'll say
that. Of course. You're a great father. And I know you are. Those kids are amazing. But when you had a child, your life didn't change what you had to do. As females, we just gather an extra job. And I love my children, obviously, but their needs were first. Mm-hmm. It became their needs. And so my husband, who's an awesome coach, their teams, their sports teams, you know, was a great, great father. But I kind of added a job to my life. He didn't add another job to his life. Mm-hmm. So you just have to have your priorities.
Yeah. Now, I also want you to speak to somebody that might be watching this that is a single mother, which I couldn't imagine a harder job. And you've employed single mothers in your career. And I've even had some heated conversations with females that have come up to me after introducing the 7-3 and go, look, that's so easy for you to say, but you don't understand. Like, being a single mother is harder than anything you could ever imagine. And I, as a speaker, I could never say, oh, I understand, because I couldn't understand. That's got to be the hardest thing in the world. But one of the things that you've done really well in your team is that as you guys, you gain really good perspective on where to give your energy. You also do a team meeting at the end of the day, which I have seen no one do that really well. So just add some perspective to those thoughts.
Okay, first I'll talk about the end of the day meeting, which I think is important because, one, it makes you stay on time. And I'm not saying that 100%. We all know that there are going to be times where you can't get out of there on time, but that should be a very small percentage of the time. So it commits you to being on time and getting out so that you can pick up your kids, or you can coach a, you know, their sports teams, or you can, if you don't have kids, that you can get out of there. So, but it lets you celebrate the joys of the day. And that's the most beneficial part of that afternoon huddle. Not only does it, you know, allow you the time to say, oh my God, that lab case isn't here tomorrow that we thought was going to be here and we should take care of it now, but it's a 5-minute chance to celebrate and then say, okay, good job, guys. You can, you know, let's go home.
Yeah.
And then the other part that you asked me about, I think being a leader, a female leader of a mostly female team, it tends to be mostly females. I think as a female, I've always had an obligation to make, when I hire someone, I say, my job, I want you to be better as a professional, but I want you to leave here as a better person. And I think you know, if we're honest, we've had lots of women that are employed that have, you know, they're single moms. They might have not graduated high school. They might have been abused. I mean, there's so many different issues that could be part of that conversation. But I think as a female, we have an obligation to understand another female. It doesn't mean that you let them rule the ship. It just means that you create a higher standard that they try to obtain.
Right.
And now, part of that's through education and creating an environment. You know, if you have health insurance, that means that your team has health insurance.
Right. Now, give us some perspective. What are some of the lessons that you've learned in leading a team of females? And with that, can I ask you this question? Because I have some female dentists that say, hey, look, I don't really like to be really good friends with my team. I like to be close with them and let them know that I care about them, but I'm not going to have beers with them every day after work type of a thing. What are you, what's your opinion on that thought process?
I think it's important to create boundaries. You can create boundaries and still be understanding and empathetic. Okay. We do things as a team. I take them to educational meetings, which they very much appreciate, which I, that's one of my, I don't know, my credos, my whatever you want to call it. I think I have always tried to create an environment of knowledge and higher learning and growth potential. So yes, will I go out with drinks with the team? Of course I will. Like I said, you can create boundaries while still maintaining balance of empathy. Like today, unfortunately, my dental assistant's father passed away, went to the funeral this morning. I can tell you that I think that she would expect me to go to that funeral, but I don't think she expected her coworkers to be there. And why did they go? Because they work as a team, and I support them in that bond of growth. You know, they're not all best friends, but they respect each other. It's a team of respect.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you hold that value very high.
Yes.
With everybody. Yeah. What other things would you say about leadership that you've learned the hard way?
To delegate.
Now, define that, because that requires definition, because delegate isn't just throwing things at people.
Right. So, for instance, I'll give you a concrete example. Next weekend, we're doing a wellness day for our patients, which is a brand new thing for our office. One of my dental assistants got the nutritionist, the massage therapist, a lot of those things. And she came to me and she said, can you please reach out to these people? I've made these connections. I gave everyone specific jobs as to what they're going to do that day. I didn't just say, you run the program. I came up with the vision and I let them participate so that they are growing as well. And they feel that they have a high stake in the day. Doesn't mean that they're in control of the budget. Doesn't mean that they're in control of every little thing. But if I say, okay, you can spend whatever, $50 for decorations. Do I care about the decorations? They do. So let them do that. So that's delegation. Letting your team at a team meeting come up with the theme for the Christmas party venue. Those are things that you delegate. And when we create a mission, yes, they put in their ideas. Once a year, we have a mission-driven meeting. They come up with their ideas, and then I usually make the final decisions of what we put together. Mm-hmm. But they feel good about the input.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I absolutely love it. Now, when you talk about time, you and I were mentioning this before we got started, like time is very, very important. And oftentimes it takes us a while to figure that out. But like now every day counts, every hour counts. And I even having Brian, your husband, on, we talked about time is the new rich. How important is time, and what lessons would you share with other people that are watching this? If I'm a 32-year-old female watching this, what would you say about the aspect of time?
Oh, dear God.
That's a heavy question.
I want to know your answer. Yeah. Okay. Time is the new rich. That's a good way to put it. Especially I'm in DC, and people want you to be on time. So during your day, you have to stay on time, and people get upset if you're not on time. So during the day, that's a time element. I also think that if you're going to spend time with the people that you care about and love at home, you need to be out on time. And if you look at time as an evolution through your life, you know, your time is limited. If you have children, your time is limited that you will be with them on a daily aspect. Fortunately, they go away to college and they come back and they're beautiful people. So you get to spend quality time with them again. But I also think as females, you're bringing up the female aspect, we're talking about that. I think that as females, we tend to think of time as like, if I do something now, it has to be the same thing I'm doing 5 years from now. And I think that's a lesson that I learned, in that you have to, what's working now might not work 5 years from now or 3 years from now, especially if you're, you know, building a practice or starting a family, all the big things in life. So it's okay to change and to alter your plans and say, okay, this worked 5 years ago, but maybe this isn't the best thing to do now. And maybe that's experience. That's not time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a lesson of experience.
Yeah. And why do you think that? Do you think you're just afraid to change for fear of change? Or why are you so afraid to change, or people are afraid to change their priorities? You know, and I hold you in a special regard, because you're one of those people that I can bring a problem to you and you go, you'll just slap me around and go, that's not really important right now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so true. Is it the importance to know what's important that you can change these priorities? Because your energy changes as you age too.
Of course it does. I can't do the things I did. I don't have the energy that I did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. Experience tells you a lot of things. Time is limited. And no one's going to say at the end of your career or on your gravestone that you were a great dentist. I want them to say I was a great mother and a great wife.
Right.
Now I was good at my relationships, not that I was a great dentist.
Right.
That's kind of an extra benefit.
Totally. Now, if anyone watches anything we do or comes in, they'll know I'm a big fan of the 7 to 3, and you're one of my heroes in the 7 to 3. I want to ask you specifically about the 7 to 3, because 7 to 3 just isn't 7 to 3. There are things you have to figure out. You've got to train patients. You got to teach them to show up. You don't just change your hours and pick up from your kids from school and go, that was awesome. There's some dirty work that you have to do to get that to work. You know, I would love like the specific nuances, because we have so many people. I mean, I'm just thinking of two young female dentists I just saw a couple weeks ago. They're like, I don't know if that would work, because they're in Minneapolis, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it totally works. You just got to decide to do it. And they're like, well, what time would I get to work? Can you give us some perspective on some lessons that you've learned? Because you teach people when to show up. You teach them how to pay. And you guys do get there early to finish on time, right?
Yes. Yes. We're there by 6:30. We have a morning, you know, everyone gets ready so that we see our patient, you know, our first patient at 7 o'clock. So that means we're there at 6:30. That means everyone's ready to go at 6:30, and at 6:40 we have our huddle, our morning huddle, so that everyone's waiting. Our busiest time of the day is 7 to 9.
Why? Tell me why.
Well, probably because we've trained them that way, and if they miss a 7 o'clock slot for hygiene or for my schedule, they're not getting another one for at least a few weeks or a month, if okay. not longer. But people want to go, they time is the element, so they want to do that on their off time. Most people start work, if they're a banker or a teacher or whatever, at 8 9 o'clock in the morning. They don't want to take time out of their day to go to the dentist. So 7 to 9 is my most, you know, it's the best time of the day for us. And I have high energy. Mm-hmm. I tend to be high energy.
You're very high. Now, are you one of those people that wants to do high-end restorative in the morning, or are you doing more
yes.
connective conversations, new patient conversations? Like, what no. are you doing in the morning?
I'm doing all my high production in the morning. You do not want me doing a crown at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't. So I work straight. I work straight through, and everyone does eat. I don't know what they eat, but they do eat, and we are out of there at 3:30. So we stop seeing patients at 3, and they're out.
Right. So, now, you don't have a designated lunchtime. So how do they eat?
I have two front desk people and two assistants, and they make it work. They don't. No one starves. Mm-hmm. They are respectful of each other, and they say, okay, I need my 20-minute walk around the block and go take a break. It's not that they don't take a break or they don't eat. They eat and they take a break. But they're respectful of each other.
Yeah. Now, everybody, everywhere I go, people go, well, what about the labor laws? Because your labor laws aren't different. You have to give people a 1-hour lunch in your state, just like every other state. And they, right. It's just one of those conversations that we mutually waive it. Like, how do you have that conversation with your employees?
Right. They know that they can use the restroom. They can take a break. They can, and they're working 35 to 36 hours a week too. They're not working 40 hours a week, but they're getting paid for 40 hours. That's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. So they're all on salary. I have one person, a part-time hygienist that I have a full-time and then a part-time hygienist. The part-time hygienist is the only one on my team. She works two days a week. That is an hourly employee. Okay. So everyone else is salary. So they actually get paid for a 40-hour work week, but they are physically in the office for 36.
Okay. Now, the specific mechanics of this, you guys finish at 3 and then you do your meeting after that. I've seen a couple of them, but I can't remember the time frame. So you finish promptly at 3, then you have your meeting and everyone leaves at 3:15. Is that true?
Or? Like 3:30.
3:30.
So okay. 3:10, we try to have a 5-minute wrap up.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, here's one of the biggest challenges that most everybody has, and this isn't specific to male dentists, female dentists, is finding the right people in your practice. You've learned a lot about, because your team is amazing. There are courses that I do, and you'll be on a vacation in Spain somewhere, but your team is excited to be in the front row. I'm like, how does a person do that? You have a really crazy, special, cool team. What are some of the lessons you've learned?
I think one of the lessons, I already said this, was to create an environment of educational growth. Mm-hmm. And that means that I really believe that that team needs to be educated. Of course, there are classes that I go to that they don't go to that are too technical, obviously. But, if pick a meeting. Pick a meeting once a year. Go to the ADA. Go to, AACD. After a certain point of earning money, they want to learn. They want to better themselves. And the second part is not only they are growing, but you come back from a meeting like that and your patients know that their team, that the team that's taking care of them is educated and excited to be there, they'll come back. Mm-hmm. They feel that.
Yeah.
They feel that that's just, they're being taken care of if the team is taken care of. And I think the balance in life, we already talked about that, striving for the balance in life, trickles down to your team. If they know that's important to you, then it's important to them.
Yeah. And you and I are going to do a completely separate show on the educational aspect, because now you're in the systemic link. I can see how excited you are in this whole, like, you're hitting another stage of your career that's just off the charts exciting for you in that respect. Now, I want to talk about the insurance thing too, just briefly, because this conversation is not getting any easier. I came back from the CDA. It's extremely heated there. Last week I was in Florida. It's extremely heated there. Now with the shared network agreements, This is all we do as coaches. We look at how practices are doing better. It's more and more complex in this insurance web. You're someone who's taken a stance and you're very clear about how you practice. What would you say to someone who's starting a career of 30 years in front of them of dentistry and having a positive outlook about the future?
I think it's training, you know, it's deciding what type of dentistry you want to do. Okay, that's the first thing. And then deciding what type of life and career you want to have. That's the second part. It is not easy not taking insurance. But if you do that, and I'm not telling people to quit, you know, just so you're accepting insurance and now you're not going to do it. It has to be a gradual process. But people hold value to what you do. Okay, a crown, for instance, a crown is not a commodity. A crown is a service that you are providing. And until the patient understands that, they will be insurance driven. Mm-hmm. So it's training your patient over time what you are providing. Now, you can't operate on a model of, you know, get them in, get them out, and that instills value. It just won't instill value with the patient. Patients that want value, they want relationships, they want their time honored, and they want service. They want an experience. Mm-hmm. So when you're at work, Disney, you know, you got to come in with the attitude of it's Disney. You mm-hmm. know, we don't want to hear that, you know, this happened, that happened, whatever. You have to be, you have to pretend it's Disney. Mm-hmm. And you have to create an experience that the patient values. That's how you get off of insurance plans.
Yeah. And it's not easy to do. Like you said, it's one of those things you got to be deliberate about, and you got to get everybody involved. And everybody's got to see the big picture. What other things would you say to a dentist who's looking at 2 to 3 decades of dentistry in front of them?
Be excited.
Yeah.
And when I say that, change, be willing to change and be willing to fail. And failure is one of your, I just think people, my kids, everybody, I just say, learn how to fail. And you won't know if something works until you try it. Mm-hmm. And in your practice, that might mean like, okay, you're saying 7 to 3. Maybe 7-3 doesn't work for someone. Maybe it's 8-4. Maybe it's something else. But until you try it, you don't know if it's going to work. So failure's not a bad thing. Doesn't mean you have to try it for six years. Try it for 6 months. And then don't be afraid to change. If I talk to you about all the changes that I have encountered in dentistry throughout 30, 40 years, it's incredible. Almost nothing I do today is what I did 30, 40 years ago. The principles might be the same, but the tools and the way to get there are very, very different. Yeah. So if you don't want to change, you'll never thrive.
Absolutely. So there's plenty of opportunity for us in the world, especially for females. And I'm just so grateful for the time. You know, I tell everybody, it doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's not the top that's crowded. It's the bottom. Like, there's so much opportunity, and we can't sit and complain about all that's going on around us because nobody wants to stay there anyway. So I'm just crazy grateful, Deneen. Any last words of advice you'd have for our listeners? We got young dentists, mature dentists watching alike, that you'd say, hey, look, keep this in mind as you look forward.
Enjoy the journey.
It is. You can't, you never get there. You just never do. So
enjoy the journey.
Yeah. You and I are going to talk so much more about the systemic link and some of the other things that you're crazy passionate about. You have been through the preceptor program with Bale and Doneen, which I'm so excited to talk with you about, because I really believe that's one of the next big waves in dentistry that's already here. And it's just going to keep getting more exciting. So we're going to have you back. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else, Deneen. But thank you guys for watching. I know you enjoyed today. And if you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Continue to add questions to the feed. Ask Deneen some questions if you want to. You'll see she's really good at getting back to you. Keep sending us suggestions for shows. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.